Do you like the picture on the slide? Yeah? Come on then, let's hear you say, ah. The thing is, you know, that sheep and especially lambs can be pretty kind of cute. Is that right? But they can also be pretty kind of foolish. Because as we say, sheep, they follow each other into danger without really thinking. Sheep can easily get lost. And that is why sheep are such a great simile or metaphor for people. In Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah says, We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. What do you notice in this verse? Isaiah doesn't say they all like sheep. Instead, he says we all like sheep. It is easy to look at others and to say they all like sheep have gone astray. But the humble follower of Jesus should instead declare, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We, including me, are like sheep who have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. As you know, a central theme of the gospel is that of repentance. And repentance only works when we admit our own guilt. In Luke chapter 18, the Pharisees are described as those who are confident of their own righteousness, who look down on everyone else. And in our parable today, in Luke chapter 15, we see the Pharisees doing what they always did. Can we start, please, at verse 1, Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." There they are, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, confident of their own righteousness, looking down on everyone else, muttering and complaining about Jesus, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And in response to this, Jesus tells them a story about a lost sheep. But here is the question. Would the Pharisees identify themselves as being like the lost sheep? Here is that story, a parable known as the parable of the lost sheep. Then Jesus told them this parable. Verse 4. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Can we move to the next slide, please? Tax collectors and sinners, Pharisees and teachers of the law. This slide raises a question. Which is better, tax collectors and sinners, or Pharisees and teachers of the law? Which is better? Because Jesus is telling this parable to a mixed crowd made up of two groups of people. Tax collectors and sinners, they're one group of people. And Pharisees and teachers of the law are the other group. But which group is better? Which group has a better standing before God? The answer, of course, neither. Neither. Why do I say this? Because all of them need to repent. All of them need to be saved by grace through faith in Jesus. All of them are lost sheep that need to be saved by Jesus, the Good Shepherd. But here's the thing. During Jesus' ministry on earth, tax collectors and even prostitutes were entering the kingdom of God, whilst the Pharisees refused to repent. This is what Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 21. He said, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." Let's move to our next slide, please. Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. The problem with the Pharisees was that they complained about the very thing that makes the gospel so wonderful. Do you get it? The very thing that makes the gospel so wonderful is the fact that Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. And that's the very thing that the Pharisees complain about. The fact that Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them is why we are here this morning. It's what makes the gospel such wonderful good news. And in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, a verse that you probably all know off by heart, there are the words, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." What a tragedy that the Pharisees were grumbling and complaining about the very thing that makes the gospel so wonderful. The fact that God welcomes us who do not deserve him. That God welcomes us when we come in faith and in repentance. Let's move to our next slide, please. 99 is not enough. Have you ever done a 100-piece jigsaw puzzle? Now I'm looking around and you're thinking 100-piece jigsaw, it's easy. I do 1,000 pieces. Okay, but maybe you did a 100-piece jigsaw puzzle with your children when they're little, or grandchildren. Or maybe even with an elderly relative. Sometimes you have to go back a bit, make it a bit easier. So you're doing this 100-piece jigsaw puzzle and you can guess what's coming, right? It's nearly finished. And there you are, bang in the middle. There's a piece missing. Honestly, if a piece is missing, the puzzle is ruined. And you may well say, what was the point of even doing it? You do not say, well, at least it's 99% complete. You don't say that. You say it's incomplete. There's something missing. 99 pieces of puzzle is not enough. And if a shepherd previously had 100 sheep, then 99 is not enough. And we get a glimpse of this in Peter's letter, 2 Peter chapter 3, where we're told, the Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come to repentance. The gospel is available to everyone who comes to repentance. The gospel is available to whoever believes in Jesus. And there's, of course, another very famous verse that supports this. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever, anyone and everyone, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And here's the thing, of course, that the Pharisees hated because they didn't embrace the gospel. The gospel is available to everyone who comes to repentance. The gospel is available to whoever believes in Jesus. The gospel is valid even for criminals who turn to Jesus in repentance. And you know very well that on that day when Jesus was crucified on the cross, you know that on each side of him were two criminals, one on the left and one on the right. And in Luke chapter 23, we read, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus, saying, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked the first, saying, don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Let's move on to our next slide, please. And I've called this slide, Making the Lost the Priority. And we have to ask ourselves, as a church and as individuals, do we make the gospel a priority? Do we make people outside of the church a priority? Are we making the lost a priority? Because Jesus died for lost sheep like me and like you. And as Peter said in his prayer earlier on, there are people all around us this morning washing their cars and walking the dog and playing football and so on, but they're not worshiping the living God. And they are lost. Jesus died for lost sheep like me and you, and Jesus died for lost sheep who are out playing and taking part in recreation on this Lord's Day. In Isaiah 53, I want to read a little bit more of what I read earlier for you. Isaiah the prophet says, surely he, talking about Jesus here, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. And then he says, we all, not they all, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, to Jesus, the lost were his number one priority. And Jesus said about himself when he was in Zacchaeus' house, he said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And this true story of Zacchaeus is a wonderful example of Jesus saving the lost. Zacchaeus was lost, and saving him was Jesus' priority. So much so that Jesus took time out of his day and went to Zacchaeus' house. And we can read about that in Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He was a tax collector, the very kind of person that the Pharisees grumbled about, yeah? He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Let's move on to the next slide, please. Going after the lost. You know, in John chapter 3 and John chapter 4, we have two further examples of Jesus reaching out to the lost. Don't be anxious. We're not going to read John chapter 3 and John chapter 4 this morning. But what I say is, look, in these two chapters, John 3 and John 4, we see two examples of Jesus reaching out to the lost. One of them was, of course, a Pharisee called Nicodemus, who was lost. The other was the type of person that Pharisees would have muttered and grumbled about. She was the Samaritan woman who would have been considered sinful by the Pharisees, and she was lost too. And Jesus spent time with both of them. To one of them, he said, "You must be born again." And to the other, he offered living water. Both Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman were lost, and Jesus brought the gospel to both of them. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give up his life as a ransom for many. Let's move to our next slide, please. Joyfully. Why have I given this slide the simple title, Joyfully? Well, I want you to imagine that you have gone out looking for your lost sheep. Imagine, please, that the terrain is rough and your feet are hurting. The wind is chapping your face. The sun is scorching your neck. You don't have any water and you are getting very thirsty. You are weary and it would be so easy to give up. But when you spot your lost sheep, you rescue it joyfully, even though you have a long walk back to the rest of the flock. And something inside of you keeps you going. What is that thing that keeps you going? Nehemiah gives us a glimpse of what that thing is. That thing is joy. When Nehemiah says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And as you gently place your sheep on your shoulders, you adopt the teaching of Paul in his letter to the Philippians, when he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." You see, your sheep is badly bruised and injured, and it is bleeding in places. So you are going to need the gentleness that comes when we rejoice in the Lord. And this links into our next slide. On his shoulders. You see, there is only one way to get your sheep back to the sheep fold. I was thinking about it, is how would you carry a sheep? How would you carry a sheep over rough terrain? You will have to carry it on your shoulders. But please do it gently, because your sheep has suffered a trauma and is hurt and is injured. And do it joyfully, otherwise you will not have the strength you need for the journey. It is going to become very heavy. Yes, that sheep on your shoulders is going to be quite a burden. And you know what? I'm not even sure if I could do that. I'm not even sure if I could carry a sheep on my shoulders. I'm not even sure if you could manage to carry a sheep on your shoulders. We could not do it in our own strength. We could only do it in the strength of the Lord. And of course, we're not talking about physical sheep on our shoulders. We're talking about the burdens that we carry. Only Jesus can truly bear burdens. And this is, of course, what Jesus did when he went to the cross. You see, Jesus is so unlike the Pharisees. The Pharisees put heavy burdens on others. Jesus says about the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, "They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." Pharisees cause problems for people. Pharisees enjoy causing problems for people. Pharisees do nothing to help people. But Jesus takes all our anxiety, all our burdens, if only we will cast it upon him. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 we read, "Cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Let's move to our next slide, please. "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." In this chapter of Luke, Jesus tells three parables about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And at the end of each parable, there is rejoicing. At the end of this parable, we are told, when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." And Jesus concludes, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent." And at the end of the parable of the lost coin, we are told, when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." And Jesus then concludes saying, "In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And then, as you know, at the end of the parable of the lost son, we are told, the father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. What is the message of these three parables? What should we take home from these three parables? There will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Can we now go, please, to our final slide? And you'll see there's a question there for you. How does verse 7 relate to verses 1 and 2? Well, verses 1 and 2 say, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" And verse 7 states, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent." Clearly, these three parables were aimed at the Pharisees, but I believe that they are aimed at us too. Did the Pharisees get it? Did they understand Jesus' message? Did they embrace Jesus' teaching? What about them? What about us? Did the Pharisees ever get it that they were sinners too? Did the Pharisees ever get it that they were not righteous? Did the Pharisees ever get it that they too needed to repent? Did the Pharisees ever get it that there would be rejoicing in heaven if even one of them chose to repent? What about us? Do we get it? Jesus says, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent." Amen.